We continue now with Preparation for Death by St. Alphonsus de Liguori and the chapter on the death of the just. Consideration 8, the death of the just is a rest. O my beloved Jesus, who to obtain for me a happy death has freely submitted to so painful a death on Calvary, when shall I see thee? The first time I shall behold thee, I shall see thee as my judge in the very place in which I shall expire. What shall I then say? What wilt thou say to me? I will not wait till that moment to think of what I shall say. I will meditate on it now. I will say to thee, my Redeemer, thou art the God who has died for me. I have hitherto offended thee. I have been ungrateful to thee. I did not deserve pardon. But afterward, assisted by thy grace, I have entered into myself, and during the remainder of my life I have bewailed my sins, and thou hast pardoned me. Pardon me again now that I am at thy feet, and give me a general absolution of all my sins. I did not deserve ever again to love thee, because I have despised thy love, but thou in thy mercy hast drawn my heart to thee, so that if I have not loved thee as thou deservest, I have at least loved thee above all things, and have left all to please thee. I see that paradise and the possession of thy divinity and thy kingdom is too much for me, but I cannot live at a distance from thee now, especially after thou hast shown me thy amiable and beautiful countenance. I therefore ask for paradise, not to enjoy greater delights, but to love thee more perfectly. Send me to purgatory as long as thou pleasest. Defiled as I am at present, I do not wish to enter into the land of purity and to see myself among those pure souls. Send me to be purified, but do not banish me forever from thy presence. I shall be content to be one day, whenever thou pleasest, called to paradise to sing thy mercies for all eternity. Ah, my beloved judge, raise thy hand and bless me. Tell me that I am thine, and that thou art and shall be forever mine. I will always love thee, and thou wilt forever love me. Behold, I go to a distance from thee. I go into fire, but I go in peace, because I go to love thee, my Redeemer, my God, my all. I am content to go, but during my absence from thee, I go, O Lord, to count the moments that will elapse before thou callest me. Have mercy on a soul that loves thee with all its power, and that sighs to see thee, that it may love thee better. This I hope, O my Jesus, to say to thee at death. I entreat thee to give me the grace to live in such a manner, that I may then say to thee what I have now thought. Give me holy perseverance, give me thy love. Assist me, O Mary, Mother of God, pray to Jesus for me. Second point. The death of the just is a victory. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Then at death the Lord will wipe away from the eyes of his servants all the tears that they have shed in this world, where they live in the midst of pains, of fears, of dangers, and of combats with hell. The greatest consolation which a soul that has loved God will experience in hearing the news of death will arise from the thought that it will soon be delivered from the many dangers of offending God to which it is exposed in this life, from so many troubles of conscience, and from so many temptations of the devil. The present life is an unceasing warfare with hell, in which we are in continual danger of losing our souls and God. St. Ambrose says that in this life we walk among snares. We walk continually amid the snares of enemies who lie in wait to deprive us of the life of grace. It was this danger that made St. Peter of Alcantara say at death to a religious who, in attending the saint, accidentally touched him, "Brother, remove, remove from me, for I am still alive and am still in danger of being lost." The thought of being freed by death from the danger of sin consoled St. Teresa and made her rejoice as often as she heard the clock strike, that another hour of the combat was past. Hence, she would say, "In each moment of life, I may sin and lose God. Hence the news of approaching death filled the saints with consolation, because they knew that their struggles and dangers were soon to have an end, and that they would soon be in a secure possession of that happy lot in which they could nevermore lose God. It is related in the lives of the fathers that one of them, who was very old, when dying, smiled while the others wept. Being asked why he smiled, he said, "Why do you weep at seeing me go to rest?" Likewise, St. Catherine of Siena, in her last moment, said, "Rejoice with me, for I quit this land of pains and go to a place of peace." If, says St. Cyprian, you lived in a house whose walls and roof and floors were tottering and threatened destruction, how ardently would you desire to fly from it? In this life, everything menaces the ruin of the soul: the world, hell, the passions, the rebellious senses, all draw us to sin and eternal death. "Who," exclaimed the apostle, "shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Oh, how great will be the joy of the soul in hearing these words: "Come, my spouse, depart from that land of tears, from the dens of lions who seek to devour you and to rob you of the divine grace." Hence, St. Paul, sighing for death, said that Jesus Christ was his only life, and therefore he esteemed death his greatest gain, because by death he acquired that life which never ends. "To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In taking a soul while it is in the state of grace out of this world, where it may change its will and lose his friendship, God bestows on it a great favor. He was taken away lest wickedness should alter his understanding. Happy in this life is the man that lives in union with God. But as the sailor is not secure until he has arrived at the port and escaped the tempest, so the soul cannot enjoy complete happiness until it has left this world in the grace of God. "Praise," says St. Maximus, "the felicity of the sailor, but not until he has reached the port." Now if at his approach to the port the sailor rejoices, how much greater ought to be the joy and gladness of a Christian who is at the point of securing eternal salvation. Moreover, it is impossible in this life to avoid all venial sins. "For," says the Holy Ghost, "a just man shall fall 7 times. He who quits this life ceases to offend God. For," says St. Ambrose, "what is death but the burial of vices?" This consideration makes the souls that love God long for death. The venerable Vincent Carafa consoled himself at death, saying, "By ceasing to live, I cease forever to offend God." And St. Ambrose said, "Why do we desire this life, in which the longer we live, the more we are loaded with sins?" He who dies in the grace of God can never more offend him, says the same holy doctor. Hence the Lord praises the dead more than any man living, though he be a saint. A certain spiritual man gave directions that the person who should bring him the news of death should say, "Console yourself, for the time has arrived when you will no longer offend God." Affections and prayers. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, the God of truth. Ah, my sweet Redeemer, what should become of me if thou hadst deprived me of life when I was far from thee? I should now be in hell, where I could never love thee. I thank thee for not having abandoned me, and for having bestowed on me so many great graces in order to gain my heart. I am sorry for having offended thee. I love thee above all things. Ah, I entreat thee to make me always sensible of the evil I have done in despising thee, and of the love which thy infinite goodness merits. I love thee, and I desire to die soon, if such be thy will, that I may be freed from the danger of ever again losing thy grace, and that I may be secure of loving thee forever. Ah, my beloved Jesus, during these remaining years of my life, give me strength to do something for thee before I die. Give me strength against all temptations and against my passions, but particularly against the passion which has hitherto most violently drawn me to sin. Give me patience in all infirmities, and under all the injuries which I may receive from men. I now, for the love of thee, pardon all who have shown me any contempt, and I beg of thee to bestow upon them the graces which they stand in need of. Give me strength to be more diligent in avoiding even venial faults about which I have been hitherto negligent. My Savior, assist me, I hope, for all graces through thy merits. O Mary, my mother, and my hope, I place unbounded confidence in thee. Third point, the death of the just is the entrance to life. Death is not only the end of labors, but it is also the gate of life, says Saint Bernard. He who wishes to see God must necessarily pass through this gate. This is the gate of the Lord, the just shall enter into it. Saint Jerome entreated death to open its gates to him. Death, my sister, if you do not open the door to me, I cannot enter to enjoy my Lord. Seeing in his house a picture which represented a skeleton with a scythe in the hand, Saint Charles Borromeo sent for a painter and ordered him to erase the scythe and to paint a golden key in order that he might be more and more inflamed with the desire of death, which opens paradise and admits us to the vision of God. If, says Saint John Chrysostom, a king had prepared for one of his subjects apartments in his own palace, but for the present obliged him to live in a tent, how ardently would the vassal sigh for the day on which he should leave the tent and enter into the palace. In this life, the soul, being in the body, is, as it were, confined in a prison, which it must leave in order to enter the celestial palace. Hence, David prayed to the Lord to bring his soul out of prison. When the holy Simeon held the infant Jesus in his arms, he asked no other grace than to be delivered from the prison of the present life. Now thus dismiss thy servant, O Lord. As if detained by necessity, he, says Saint Ambrose, begs to be dismissed. The apostle desired the same grace when he said, I am straitened, having a desire to be dissolved and to be with Christ. How great was the joy of the cupbearer of Pharaoh when he heard from Joseph that he should soon be rescued from the prison and restored to his situation. And will not a soul that loves God exult with gladness at hearing that it will soon be released from the prison of this earth and go to enjoy God? While we are in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While the soul is united to the body, it is at a distance from the vision of God, as if in a strange land and excluded from its true country. Hence, according to Saint Bruno, the departure of the soul from the body should not be called death, but the beginning of life. Hence, the death of the saints is called their birthday, because at death they are born to that life of bliss which will never end. Saint Athanasius says, to the just, death is only a passage to eternal life. O amiable death, says Saint Augustine, who will not desire thee, who art the end of evils, the close of toils, the beginning of everlasting repose. Hence the holy doctor frequently prayed for death, that he might see God. The sinner, as Saint Cyprian says, has just reason to fear death, because he will pass from temporal to eternal death. But he who is in the state of grace and hopes to pass from death to life fears not death. In the life of Saint John the Almoner, we read that a certain rich man recommended to the prayers of the saint an only son, and gave the saint a large sum of money to be distributed in alms for the purpose of obtaining from God a long life for his son. The son died soon after, but when the father complained of his death, God sent an angel to say to him, you sought for your son a long life. He now enjoys eternal life in heaven. This is, as was promised by the prophet Osi, the grace which Jesus Christ merited for us. O death, I shall be thy death. By dying for us, Jesus has changed death into life. When Pionis the martyr was brought to the stake, he was asked by those who conducted him how he could go to death with so much joy. "You err," replied the saint, "I go not to death, but to life." Thus also the mother of the youthful Saint Symphorian exhorted him to martyrdom. "My son," said she, "life is not taken away from you, it is only exchanged for a better one." Affections and Prayers. O God of my soul, I have hitherto dishonored thee by turning my back upon thee, but thy Son has honored thee by offering to thee the sacrifice of his life on the cross. Through the honor which thy beloved Son has given thee, pardon the dishonor which I have done thee. I am sorry, O Sovereign Good, for having offended thee, and I promise henceforth to love nothing but thee. From thee I hope for salvation. Whatever good is in me at present is the fruit of thy grace. To thee I ascribe it all. By the grace of God, I am what I am. If I have hitherto dishonored thee, I hope to honor thee for eternity by blessing and praising thy mercy forever. I feel a great desire to love thee. This thou hast given me. I thank thee for it, O my love. Continue the aid which thou hast begun to give me. I hope to be henceforth thine and entirely thine. And what greater pleasure can I enjoy than that of pleasing thee, my Lord, who art so amiable and who hast loved me so tenderly? O my God, I ask only love, 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 and hope always to ask of thee love, love, until dying in thy love, I reach the kingdom of love, where without evermore asking it, I shall be full of love, and never for a single moment cease to love thee for all eternity and with all my strength. Mary, my mother, who lovest thy God so intensely, and who desirest so vehemently to see him loved, obtain for me the grace to love him ardently in this life, that I may love him ardently forever in the next. Consideration 9. Peace of the Just at the Hour of Death. The souls of the just are in the hands of God, and the torment of death shall not touch them. In the sight of the unwise, they seem to die, but they are in peace. First point, the just have nothing to fear at the hour of death. The souls of the just are in the hands of God. If God holds fast in his hands the souls of the just, who can snatch them from him? It is true that hell does not cease to tempt and attack even the saints at the hour of death, but it is also true that God does not cease to assist and to multiply helps to his faithful servants whenever their danger is increased. There, says Saint Ambrose, there is greater aid where there is greater peril, because God is a helper in due time. David also assures us in the Psalms, a helper in time of tribulation. The servant of Eliseus was struck with terror when he saw the city encompassed with enemies, but the saint inspired him with courage, saying, "Fear not, for there are more with us than with them." He then showed him an army of angels sent by God to defend the city. The devil will come to tempt the dying Christian, but his angel guardian will come to strengthen him. His holy advocates will come. Saint Michael, whom God has appointed to defend his faithful servants in their last combat with hell, will come. The Divine Mother will come to chase away the devils and to protect her servant. Above all, Jesus Christ will come to guard against every temptation of hell, the innocent or penitent sheep for whose salvation he has given his life. He will give that confidence and strength of which the soul should stand in need in that last struggle with its enemies. Hence, full of courage, it will say, "The Lord became my helper. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" God, says Origen, is more solicitous for our salvation than the devil is for our perdition, for the Lord loves our souls far more than the devil hates them. God is faithful, says the apostle. He does not permit us to be tempted above our strength, But you will say, many saints have died with great fear of being lost. I answer, we have but few examples of persons who, after leading a holy life, died with fears for their eternal salvation. Bully Sanchez says that to purify them at the hour of death from some defect, God sometimes permits holy souls to be disturbed by such fears. But generally, the servants of God have died with a joyful countenance. At death, the judgment of God excites fear in all. But if sinners pass from terror to despair, the saints rise from fear to confidence. Saint Antonine relates that in a severe illness, Saint Bernard trembled through fear of judgment and was tempted to despair. But thinking of the merits of Jesus Christ, he drove away all fears, saying to his Savior, Thy wounds are my merits. Saint Hilarion also was seized with fear, but he said, Go forth, my soul, what do you fear? For near 70 years you have served Christ, and are you now afraid of death? As if he said, My soul, what do you fear? Have you not served a God who is faithful, who knows not how to abandon at death the Christian who has been faithful to him during life? Father Joseph Scamacca of the Society of Jesus, being asked if in dying he felt confidence in God, said, Have I served Mohammed that I should now doubt of the goodness of my God or of his desire to save me? Should the thought of having offended God at some time of our life molest us at death, let us remember that he has protested that he forgets the iniquities of all penitent sinners. If the wicked do penance, I will not remember all his iniquities. But you may ask, how can I be secure of having received pardon from God? Saint Basil asked the same question. How can anyone be certain that God has forgiven his sins? He can be certain of pardon, answers the saint, if he say, I have hated and abhorred iniquity. He who detests sin can rest secure of having obtained pardon from God. The heart of man cannot exist without loving some object. It must love creatures or God. If it loves not creatures, it loves God. And who are they that love God? All who observe his commands. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He then who dies in the observance of the commandments dies in the love of God, and he that loves fears not. Charity casteth out fear. Affections and prayers. Ah, my Jesus, when will the day arrive on which I can say, My God, I can never lose thee? When shall I see thee face to face and be sure of loving thee with all my strength for eternity? Ah, my sovereign good, my only love, as long as I have life, I shall be in danger of offending thee and of losing thy grace. There has been an unhappy time when I did not love thee, but on the contrary despised thy love. I am sorry for it with my whole soul, and hope that thou hast already pardoned me. I now love thee with my whole heart, and desire to do all in my power to love and please thee. But I am still in danger of refusing thee my love, and of again turning my back upon thee. Ah, my Jesus, my life and my treasure, do not permit it. Should this misfortune ever happen to me, take me at this moment out of life by the most cruel of deaths. I am content to suffer such a death, and I entreat thee to send me such a death sooner than permit me ever to cease to love thee. Eternal Father, for the love of Jesus Christ, do not abandon me to so great an evil. Chastise me as thou wishest. I deserve and accept my chastisement thou pleasest to inflict upon me. But preserve me from the punishment of seeing myself deprived of thy grace and of thy love. My Jesus, recommend me to thy Father. Mary, my Mother, recommend me to thy Son. Obtain for me perseverance in his friendship, and the grace to love him, and then do with me what thou pleasest. Second point, the just die in a sweet peace. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and the torment of death shall not touch them. In the sight of the unwise, they seem to die, but they are in peace. In the eyes of the unwise, the servants of God appear to die, as worldlings do, in sorrow and with reluctance. But God knows well how to console his children in their last moments, and even in the midst of the pains of death, he infuses into their souls certain sweetnesses as foretastes of paradise, which he will soon bestow upon them. As they who die in sin begin to experience on the bed of death certain foretastes of hell, certain remorse, terrors, and fits of despair, so on the other hand, the saints, by the frequent acts of divine love which they then make, by their ardent desire and firm hope of soon possessing God, begin to feel that peace which they will afterwards fully enjoy in heaven. To the saints, death is not a punishment, but a reward. When he shall give sleep to his beloved, behold the inheritance of the Lord. The death of the Christian that loves God is called not death, but sleep. Thus he shall be able to say less, in the peace, in the selfsame, I will sleep and I will rest. Father Suarez died with so much peace that in his last moments he exclaimed, I could never imagine that death would be so sweet. When Cardinal Baronius was advised by his physician not to fix his thoughts so much on death, he said, Perhaps you think I'm afraid of death. I fear it not, but on the contrary, I love it. In going to death for the faith, the Cardinal of Rochester, as Saunders relates, put on his best clothes, saying that he was going to a nuptial feast. Hence, at the sight of the scaffold, he threw away his staff and said, O, my feet, walk fast. We are not far from paradise. Before death, he intoned the Te Deum to thank God for giving him the grace to die a martyr for the holy faith. And full of joy, he laid his head on the block. St. Francis of Assisi began to sing at the hour of death and invited the brethren to join him. Brother Elias said to him, Father, at death we ought rather to weep than to sing. But, replied the saint, I cannot abstain from singing, for I see that I shall soon go to enjoy my God. A young nun of the Order of St. Teresa, in her last illness, said to her sisters in religion, who stood round her bed bathed in tears, O God, why do you weep? I go to enjoy my Jesus. If you love me, rejoice with me. Father Granada relates that a certain sportsman found a solitary infected with leprosy singing in his last agony. How, said the sportsman, can you sing in such a state? Brother, replied the hermit, between me and God there is nothing but the wall of this body. I now see that my flesh is falling off, that the prison will soon be destroyed, and that I shall go to see my God. It is for this reason that I rejoice and sing. The desire of seeing God made St. Ignatius, the martyr, say that if the wild beasts should not take away his life, he would provoke them to devour him. St. Catherine of Genoa could not bear to hear death called a misfortune. Hence, she would say, O beloved death, in what a mistaken light are you viewed! Why do you not come to me? I call on you night and day. St. Teresa desired death so vehemently that she regarded the continuation of life as death. Hence, she composed the celebrated hymn, I die because I do not die. Such is death to the saints. Affections and prayers. Ah, my supreme good, my God, if for the past I have not loved thee, I now turn to thee with my whole soul. I take leave of all creatures, and choose thee, my most amiable Lord, for the sole object of my love. Tell me what thou wishest from me, I will do all thou desirest. I have offended thee enough, I wish to spend all the remaining moments of life in pleasing thee. Give me grace to compensate by my love my past ingratitude, which has continued to this moment. I deserve to burn in the fire of hell for so many years. Thou hast sought after me, and hast drawn me to thyself. Make me now burn with the fire of thy holy love. I love thee, O infinite goodness. Thou justly claimest all the affections of my heart, for thou hast loved me more than all others have loved me. Thou alone deservest my love. Thou alone do I wish to love. I desire to do everything in my power to please thee. Do with me whatsoever thou wishest. For me, it is enough to love thee and to be loved by thee. Mary, my mother, assist me, pray to Jesus for me. Third point, the just in dying have a foretaste of celestial joy. And how can he fear death, says Saint Cyprian, who hopes to receive a kingly crown in paradise? Let us not be afraid to be put to death when we are certain that we shall be crowned after death. How can he fear death when he knows that by dying in a state of grace, his body will become immortal? This mortal must put on immortality. He that loves God and desires to see him regards life as a punishment and death as a source of joy, says Saint Augustine. And Saint Thomas of Villanova says that death, if it finds a man sleeping, comes like a thief, robs him, kills him, and casts him into the pit of hell. But if it finds him watching, it comes as an ambassador from God, and salutes him, saying, "The Lord expects you to the nuptial feast. Come, I will conduct you to the happy kingdom for which you sigh." Oh, with joy does he expect death who finds himself in the grace of God and hopes soon to see Jesus Christ and to hear from him these consoling words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will place thee over many." Oh, what consolation will he then receive from his works of penance, his prayers, his detachment from earthly goods, and from all he has done for God. Say to the just man that it is well, for he shall eat the fruit of his doings. Then he who has loved God will taste the fruit of all his holy works. Hence, in hearing that a religious, his friend, died in sentiments of fervent piety, Father Hippolytus Durazzo, of the Society of Jesus, wept not but exulted with joy and gladness. But, says St. John Chrysostom, would it not be most unreasonable to believe that heaven is eternal and to pity those who go to that kingdom of delights? What special consolation will the just man receive at the hour of death from the devotions performed in honor of the Mother of God, from the rosaries he's recited, from his visits to her image, from his fasts on Saturdays, from his frequent attendance to her confraternities? Mary is called the Faithful Virgin. Oh, how great is her fidelity in consoling her faithful servants at the hour of death. A certain person devoted to the Most Holy Virgin said in his last moments to Father Benetti, "Father, you cannot conceive the consolation which the thought of having served Mary infuses at the hour of death. Oh, my Father, if you knew the happiness I feel on account of having served his mother. I am not able to express it. How great will be the joy of him who has loved Jesus Christ, who has often visited him in the most adorable sacrament, and has often received him in the Holy Communion, when he sees his Lord entering his room in the most holy viaticum, and coming to accompany him in his passage to eternity. Happy he who will then be able, with St. Philip Neri, to say to his Savior, 'Behold my love, behold my love, give me my love.' But you will perhaps say, 'Who knows what shall be my lot? Who knows but I shall die an unhappy death?' Of you who speak in this manner, I ask, what is it that causes a bad death? Nothing but sin. We should then fear sin only, and not death. It is clear, says St. Ambrose, that it is not death that is bitter, but sin. Our fears ought not to be of death, but of life. If then you desire not to fear death, lead a holy life. With him that feareth the Lord, it shall go well in the latter end." Father Colombier held it to be morally impossible that the man who has been faithful to God during life should die a bad death. And before him, St. Augustine said, "He who has lived well cannot die badly. He who is prepared to die fears no death, however sudden. The just man, if he be prevented with death, shall be in rest. Since we cannot go to enjoy God without passing through death, St. John Chrysostom exhorts us to offer to God what we are obliged to give him. And let us be persuaded that they who offer their death to God make the most perfect act of divine love, which it is in their power to perform. Because by cheerfully embracing that kind of death which God is pleased to send, and at the time and in the manner in which God sends it, they render themselves like the holy martyrs. He who loves God should desire and sigh after death, because it unites him forever to God and delivers him from the danger of losing God. He who does not desire to see God speedily and be secure against the possibility of ever losing God shows that he has but little love for God. Let us, during life, love him in the utmost of our power. We should make use of life only to advance in divine love. The measure of our love of God at death will be the measure of our love for him in a happy eternity. Affections and prayers. My Jesus, bind me to thyself, so that I may nevermore be separated from thee. Make me entirely thine before I die, that I may see thee appeased, O my Redeemer, the first time I behold thee. Thou didst seek after me when I fled away from thee. Ah, do not cast me off, now that I seek after thee. Pardon me all the offenses I have given thee. From this day I will think only of serving and loving thee. Thou hast laid me under too many obligations. Thou hast not refused to give thy blood and thy life for the love of me. I would wish to be entirely consumed for the love of thee. O God of my soul, I wish to love thee ardently in this life, that I may love thee ardently in the next. Eternal Father, draw my whole heart to thee. Detach it from earthly affections. Wound and inflame my whole soul with thy holy love. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, hear my prayers. Give me holy perseverance, and grant me the grace always to ask it of thee. Mary, my mother, assist me, and obtain for me the grace to ask unceasingly of thy Son the gift of holy perseverance. Consideration 10. Means of preparing for death. Remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. First point, not to wait till the last moment. All confess that they must die, and die only once, and that nothing is of greater importance than to die well, because on death depends whether we shall be forever in bliss or forever in despair. All know that our eternal happiness or our eternal unhappiness depends on leading a good or a bad life. How then does it happen that the greater part of Christians live as if there were never to die, or as if to die well or ill were of little moment? They live in sin because they do not think of death. Remember thy last end, and thou shalt never sin. We must be persuaded that the hour of death is not fit for settling the accounts of the soul and securing the great affair of eternal salvation. In worldly matters, prudent men take measures in due time to secure temporal gain, to obtain a situation of emolument. To preserve or restore bodily health, the necessary remedies are not deferred a single moment. What would you say of the man who should put off his preparation for a trial on which his life depended till the day of the trial arrived? Would you not stigmatize as a fool the general who should not begin to lay in a supply of provisions and arms till the city is besieged? Would it not be folly in a pilot to neglect till the time of the tempest to provide the vessel with an anchor and a helm? Such precisely is the folly of the Christian who neglects to tranquilize his conscience till death arrives. When sudden calamity shall fall on you, and destruction as a tempest, then shall they call upon me, and I will not hear. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way. The time of death is a time of storm and confusion. At that awful hour, sinners call on God for assistance, but they invoke his aid through the fear of hell, which they see at hand, and not with true contrition of heart. It is for this reason that God is deaf to their cry. It is for this reason also that they will then taste the fruit of their wicked life. What they have sown, they shall reap. Ah, it will not then be enough to receive the sacraments. It is necessary at death to hate sin and to love God above all things. But how can he then hate forbidden pleasures who has loved them till that moment? How can he love God above all things who has till then loved creatures more than he has loved God? We will continue with the means of preparing for death on side B of this tape.